Joining us now, he is a major champion on the PGA Tour. He's an analyst, but he's a friend of the show as well. Rich Beem joins us. What's going on, Beamer?
Just hanging out at the house, having a little downtime this morning before the chaos with the kids hits, and that's about it, man.
All right, so there's a little thing called the Ryder Cup that's going to be on a course that you're a little familiar with. How fun is it going to be to watch these guys go match play style on this golf course that you won the O2 PGA Championship on?
Oh, it's going to be a blast. You know, I mean, it's going to go up. The course should be in just unbelievable shape. You know, just looking forward to getting out there and watching the guys get out there and see what they can do. Be interesting this time around since it's not a stroke play event. It's match play to see how the boys attack certain holes and things like that. But I don't expect anything crazy. I think that, you know, you got to drive the golf ball awfully solid around Hazeltine to give yourself the best chance at getting her close and making some birdies. So, you know, it's all about that. It's whichever team drives the golf ball, I think, better is gonna have the kind of upper hand. They can attack certain flags which you wouldn't be able to out of the rough. So it's going to be fun, you know. But like I said, it's just a little bit different dynamic now that it's not a stroke play event; it's match play up there.
Well, besides some sort of home team advantage, which may or may not be real since most of the European players live here now and play around the country year-round, but I'm curious if there's anything about our current squad, and I know we're going to talk about the remaining player to be selected, that gives us an advantage playing up there in Minneapolis.
I don't think so. I mean, you know, the only real reason that we would have some sort of home field advantage is if our players actually went up there and looked at the golf course before the Ryder Cup. I know there's going to be a few of them going up there this week, but, you know, nobody really has seen the golf course. And, you know, I don't know. I always kind of thought a home team advantage, you know, would be to take the time out of the day, of your day or your week, and maybe pop in to go check out Hazeltine if you know you're going to be on the team and whatnot. And so far, none of our players have done that. So I think you can throw a home field advantage out the window. You have home country advantage, maybe, but home field advantage isn't quite up to snuff on that one. I mean, I think that you'd have to know the golf course better than your opponent to have some sort of home field advantage. But that's just my thoughts on it. But I don't think that, you know, Dustin Johnson's playing obviously very well right now. And we just need to get Spieth to hit a few more greens in regulation. Patrick Reed's playing awfully well. So, I mean, I think that we got a strong team, but I don't think we have a huge advantage by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so you peeled the cover back on that particular jar. What is going on here? I mean, why does it seem the European players just tend to do better in Ryder Cup competition than our guys? And, yeah, there's a sense that they should be getting together, they should be doing things, they should go out and practice on the course, and they should play it the way it's going to be set up, not just play it the way they want. And, you know, what is the difference? What could we be doing differently? I'm not sure the task force has met its, you know, its goal.
Yeah, I wish I had an answer for that one. Not being privy to what the task force has thrown out there and this and that, or how Davis Love came to the conclusion, there's picks, things like that. And not saying that they're bad picks. I don't have any information on how he came to those picks. I don't know whether it was the stats and things like that. I saw something on Twitter the other day where he kind of put, you know, 3x8 cards and with everybody's name on it, so on and so forth. But I didn't really understand exactly what kind of information he took from all that. So I don't know, man. I think that at the end of the day that the American players, we might kind of under respect the European side just a little bit. And you can't, you know, if you don't respect the other team and the other players, then what hope do you have of beating them? Because you already given them an advantage. If they know, the Europeans know that we really don't think that they're up to snuff, then they have a chip on their shoulder. They want to prove something, and they have. And it's been year in and year out, because every single year we go out and we say, we're the stronger team on paper. Well, guess what? It ain't cutting it. So figure something else out, boys.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Mike and I have talked about it already today, and, you know, the three picks that were already made, if you're the captain and you're sitting there looking at it, and I know, you know, you don't get to go through all the stuff, same stuff that Davis Love does, but we all have access to all the same information. You know, who would your three picks have been, and who would number four be, and who do you think he's going to end up picking?
I would have picked I would pick Fowler, Justin Thomas, and I'd have a hard time coming up with a third one off the top of my list, but it'd definitely be a rookie. I'd pick three rookies out of the four, and I'd pick Fowler and Thomas just because they have a great bond with Jordan Spieth, and I think you kind of need that. You know, I like I said, I'd pick three rookies. I'd pick Daniel Berger in there, Justin Thomas, and probably I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. But right. Anyways, I'd pick three rookies and throw them in the mix because, you know, the guys that have been there and played in the Ryder Cup in the past, I mean, yes, they have the experience of playing in the Ryder Cup, but they've had the experience of playing on a losing Ryder Cup side. So tell me what advantage you have there with that. And I think he's going to pick Bubba. I don't think there's any question about it. I think Bubba's going to be the pick, world number seven. How do you overlook him? You know, but I don't know. That's who I think that Captain Love's going to pick, unless Justin Thomas or Ryan Moore or somebody else comes out and really lights it up at East Lake.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when you're talking about winning and losing, there's been more losing recently than winning. Ricky Fowler seems to be the pick everybody wants to kind of deride, 0-3-5 in Ryder Cups. And like you say, he's been on losing teams. Matt Kuchar, 4-5-2. J.B. Holmes, 2-0-1. Furyk is in the mix. The question about Bubba's attitude seems to be part of the thing. Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger. You know, if he picks Bubba, though, is that an indictment of the task force that it just, I mean, that's chalk. If he picks Bubba, it's chalk. And so what did the task force really accomplish?
Yeah, that's a great question. I have no idea. let me throw this out even further. What happens when we lose? What happens if we lose, I should say? I don't want us to lose. What happens if we lose?
Yep.
How silly do we look now? But that task force, you know, it's funny because they put together this task force, and I'm not trying to bash on the Americans by any stretch. I mean, I'm just trying to question it a little bit and understand it a little bit more, as that's kind of my job these days, is that, listen, the guys on the European side, not only do they get golfers involved, but they get guys that are businessmen that look at business decisions day in and day out on the best way to put together a good team. And it's not necessarily, you don't always need input from just golfers, you know, coaches around the world. I mean, you know, I don't know who Davis has been talking to or who he hasn't, but I'd like to think that he's gone and talked to Coach K, you know, from basketball, completely different viewpoint. Talk to other coaches, not athletes, other coaches, on how they coach their players and what they look for to put the best possible team on that floor and ever, you know, against different opponents day in and day out. So I don't know. Like I said, I wish I had more answers for you. I'm speculating, to say the least. And it's just one of those things where I hope we win. I'm wearing red, white, and blue every single day. Even bought some new socks and underwear just for the occasion. But beyond that, I think it's anybody's ballgame, you know?
Again, we're talking with 2002 PGA champion at Hazeltine. Rich Beam joins us. And, Rich, now on the other side of the fence, when you look at what Darren Clark did with his picks, there was a little bit of an oversight in not picking Russell Knox. And I pointed out earlier that when you start looking at the European points list, he was way down there because Russell Knox plays more PGA Tour than European Tour. And, you know, his other picks for the team were higher on the European points list. So do you think that played any impact into it whatsoever, that the European team is made up more of guys that tend to play a little bit more on the European tour?
No. I mean, look at Lee Westwood. Lee Westwood plays over here, I mean, almost full time. I mean, he splits his time back and forth. Russell Knox got hurt by the fact that the points weren't retroactive as soon as he joined the European Tour after the WGC went over in China last year. If the points would have gone retroactive, which is what we do here in the U.S., he'd have made the team no sweat. Now, whether or not, you know, Darren wanted to have just a couple more guys with experience on his side, I don't know. I think that the rookie that he picked, Thomas Peters, was a solid pick. I don't think that really going over playing in Europe had anything to do with hurting Russell's chances. I just think that Darren couldn't afford to put a whole lot more rookies on the squad. I think he needed to put a couple of veterans in there that have been successful, that have been in the mix of it, and sank the winning putts for the Ryder Cup side in Martin Kaymer. So I think he needed to put a little more experience out there. Unfortunately, Russell Knox was the guy that was on the outside looking in. And, you know, you can't really fault him for that. It couldn't have been very easy for Darren Clark, and knowing Darren as well as I do. And I think that it was the right call. And does it suck for Russell? I mean, immensely. And I feel for the guy because he's had a phenomenal year. But I'm not too sure playing over in Europe would have done a whole lot more for him unless he performed well. I mean, don't forget, he almost won in Ireland. Rory McIlroy made a couple of unbelievable birdies in eagles over the last three holes to run past him. But, you know, you can't just kind of base it on one fact. You got to kind of look at the whole body of work. And unfortunately, Russell's got the odd man looking out, man. It was a bad deal.
Well, let's suppose that the choice of Westwood over Knox was what it came down to. Does Westwood get the pick sort of as a lifetime achievement award? And like you're saying, the experience and the wisdom that comes with it, and maybe some fear of having a team that's too young. I mean, what kind of stability can Lee Westwood bring to that team that may, you know, have come into play?
Well, it's just the experience factor. I mean, the guy plays all around the world, always has his entire life, and I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. He had a good year. You know, it wasn't a great year. It was a good year. And, you know, you need to have those. If you've got six rookies on the team, and you got to have somebody that's been there and done that before. You can't just throw 12 guys that have never been there into the mix and expect them to do well. So they needed somebody like a Lee Westwood, an elder statesman that's on the team to kind of show the rookies, you know, how it all is. Now, you're talking rookies. When you say rookies, I mean, let's face it, Danny Willett's a rookie, but Danny Willett's a Masters champion. So let's kind of throw that name out there. First-timers might be the only thing you need to you kind of bring in the equation. So I don't know. I think that I believe that what Lee Westwood's going to bring to the table is basically just some stability. Hey, I've been here. This is what you can expect. He helps manage the guy's expectations, and that's what you really need.
Rich, you know, when we look back at 2016, we had four first-time major winners. You know, you were a first-time major winner back in 2002. You had won two tournaments previous to that. How does it impact your life? I mean, the demand on your time, I mean, how does it become different overnight from that Sunday night to that next Monday morning?
Oh, I mean, you get taller, smarter, better looking overnight. There's no doubt about that, you know. I mean, it's a given. I'm kidding, boys. I'm kidding. Now, I mean, it does change. I mean, you know, whether or not you want to believe it or not, it changes. And, you know, you can no longer be flying under the radar type of guy. You're going to be kind of front and center on a lot of things. And, you know, it's good and it's bad. But I mean, you get noticed a lot more, and how you play gets noticed a lot more, and you know, it's awesome. I mean, I don't know. It's been a long time since I've been, guys. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to I'm trying to figure out how to answer that question. I mean, it's a great honor, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, you take advantage of some of the opportunities that are thrown your way, and you let some of them go.
All right, in about 15 seconds, I'm going to put you on the hook. USA or Europeans, who's going to win?
USA 15-13.
There you go. Plain and simple, 15-13. I like it. Bring the cup back home. Well, Rich, man, we always appreciate you hopping on with us. We look forward to a great Ryder Cup, and we'll catch up with you again soon. How about that?
You got it. Cheers, boys. Thanks, man.